Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me. It's me. It's Mr. FSP. JT, ATMA, a.k.a. Cash Out, a.k.a. the Master, is taking a sabbatical. He's got some work to do. So I'm sitting in for him. With me tonight, of course, the longtime co-host, the guy that jumped on board with me before everybody else did, but he likes to play the background low-key. I'm talking about Jeff. Joker. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Vic. Thanks for the intro.
Hey, you know how I do, bro. That's what we do. All right, ladies and gentlemen. As usual, Thursday means a rundown of the week of sports, Thursday night football, and anything else in between. We have a jam-packed show for you today. This week, we're going to discuss Blake Griffin's situation. You know, he was arrested. He's since apologized for the arrest and saying he's sorry for the distraction. Jeff is going to get in that discussion. We're going to talk about tonight's game between Buffalo and Miami. AT's possible return. Is the NFL dragging their feet on purpose? And will he play by week 12 for the Minnesota Vikings? Also, if you didn't hear, Manny Pacquiao has called out Floyd Mayweather Jr. Pac-Man called him out again. Is this a fight you want to see, or is it too late? Also, we're going to discuss Derrick Rose. Now, Derrick Rose made a statement, a business statement, that has set a lot of sports fans, especially fans of the Chicago Bulls, on fire. We're going to discuss that statement and what it means to other players, the NBA, and stuff like that. And we're going to try to get to it. We got enough time, I hope, to talk about the NCAA playoff brackets that were released, who's in the top four, the top two that are out, if it were to start today. So, like I said, we have a jam-packed show. Welcome to the Crew Show. If you want to get involved, you can always call 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. It's all brought to you by spotonradio.webs.com. We're streaming 24/7, 365. Also, if you want to get your gambling fix on, go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play, and play some wagers so you can get paid. With that being said, Jeff, let's begin this conversation with Blake Griffin. Tell the people out there just a little bit about what happened, or what reportedly has happened, and your feelings on it.
You know, I heard this on the radio later today, and then I tried to get a little more information, which unfortunately is a little bit of a shortage of information. A while back in a Las Vegas nightclub, there was an incident with Blake Griffin and another patron. I think the other patron was taking pictures of Griffin with his cell phone, and there was what sounds like a minor altercation, but Griffin did put his hands on the guy, put his hand on his wrist or something. It wasn't like a beat down or something. It sounds, my impression was, a minor incident. That the only reason it's notable is because it's Blake Griffin. And I think the my gut feeling is that the person claiming the assault or whatever was probably trying to provoke Griffin.
So, again, this is part of being a celebrity of sorts. When you're a sports athlete, your life changes, whereas everybody wants a piece of you. Now, we're not saying this is the actual case, but this is what has been somewhat reported. So when you're out in the world, I mean, I get it. This is why a lot of athletes don't like to go out. And when they do go out, they have to have bodyguards and all these people around them to stop things like this from happening. Because you can just easily shake somebody's hand or slap them on the back, you know, as in, hey, good job, da-da-da-da-da. And they can say it was an assault and try to sue you for hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars because of who you are and what you make. I am not saying that is the case. But this NBA season is very young. The Clippers are just now the whole situation with their former owner. They're not performing up to their, you know, full potential so far. But Blake has got to deal with this, and so does the team. You know, how does this affect his game? You know, is he going to be focused? Will it be a distraction? Are his teammates getting asked about this as well? I mean, it's a whole litany of questions and a whole line of information that people want to know about that takes away from his preparation, in my opinion, unless he's just going to shield out the world and just go on about his business, which is hard to do, especially when you're a big, big player in the NBA or any conference or sporting industry. Unfortunate that it took place. Hopefully things can get worked out and Blake can go on about his business. And it, hopefully Jeff is right. It was nothing more than him trying to restrain somebody or trying to keep somebody from doing something to him. You never know in this world, but it is what it is. With that being said, let's go to a person that says he was using discipline to, you know, teach his child and his children some lessons. And it might not be the same discipline everybody else does or wants, but we're talking about Adrian Peterson. AP is looking to get reinstated, and by all indications, his session, his hearing, is going to be for Monday. So, Jeff, people have been stashing AP on their rosters or whatever for the past 2 weeks, or in some cases like me in a couple of weeks, for the entire year. What do you think the outcome of this hearing is going to be? And if you think that AP is going to get reinstated, how soon do you see him playing?
I mean, the thing is, either way, whether they reinstate him or not, they, you know, this is the 11th week of the season. I mean, they got to, you know, get him. If they're going to reinstate him, do it now. I mean, they can't do it in February. You know, I think, unfortunately, because of the Ray Rice case, the NFL looked very bad. They're very conscious of that now. So this is huge. And but my thing is, you know, I don't like what Adrian Peterson did, but he went through the criminal justice system, and you know, he in the meantime he was suspended with pay, which must be nice. But the fact is, he went through the justice system, and you know, I don't think it's up to your employer to punish you if you get in trouble for something that has nothing to do with them. So, as much as I dislike what he did, I think he should be allowed to play.
So here's my question. Do you think that his situation will be resolved before Ray Rice? Because Ray Rice is still, his stuff is still pending.
The big difference is Ray Rice doesn't have a team right now. So, yeah, he would have to get, cleared or whatever by the NFL before signing a contract with another team. But Adrian Peterson is still with the Vikings, and if he got activated soon enough, he could play next week maybe. That's a big difference.
That's true, and that's what I'm trying to figure out here. Because if he gets his hearing rather quickly, I guess because the NFLPA filed a grievance, and I don't think the NFLPA filed a grievance for Ray Rice, but the hearing is Monday, and the judge has up to 72 hours to render a decision. So by Wednesday or Thursday at the latest, there will be some type of answer. Now, here's the other question, or the second part to this question. Let's say he finds, or the judge finds that AP should be reinstated. He is then reinstated. How soon does he get on the field? And he's gone through preseasons and stuff without playing in the past and come back and done very well. Well, this isn't the preseason. This isn't OTAs. It's a very long period of time. Can he be ready to play right away, or would it be limited snaps?
You know, my gut feeling is, I mean, AP is a great player. He's been with the team. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. I assume he's I assume he's probably in good shape. I think if they activate him, I don't think he'd play the whole game, but I think he could play and get carries, week 12. But that's me, you know. I don't know. It's just my gut feeling.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's transition to another player here that, it's kind of interesting that we're going to talk about this, but Derrick Rose, you know what Derrick Rose said recently about his playing status? Okay. Well, for those who don't know, Derrick Rose made a statement to the public, not in private, but to the public, in reference to his health and playing ability. People have criticized Derrick Rose. The Chicago Bulls fans have made, you know, their feelings known that they don't care that he's worried about his future and stuff like that. They want him to play now because he's getting paid a lot of money. Mr. Rose pretty much said, when it comes to his health, he's going to do what's best for him because he wants to be able to sit in on conferences and understand what's going on and deal with his kids and stuff like that. Whereas the kid, I believe Mr. Rose is, what, 24, 25, something like that, and he's thinking about his career outside or after basketball. And he's already been injured several times in his short career. So he's thinking about his body, his mind, what happens when you go through these types of issues in a career field, a sports career field, and the after effects. This is something NFL is talking about and going through right now because they're dealing with the concussion issue and all that. What are your thoughts, Jeff, on Derrick Rose's comments and as well as just players in general and the reaction that Derrick's getting?
You know, Derrick Rose should have kept his mouth shut because his comments rubbed a lot of media, a lot of fans, even other players, former players, the wrong way. I don't get the impression that his injury is something that would affect his ability to lead a normal life. He's getting paid a lot of money. That's the fear with these big money guaranteed contracts that, you know, the guys aren't going to be hungry and whatever. And, you know, I mean, I don't know for sure. I'm not him, but it didn't sound good. And even if it's true and he's right, he should keep that to himself. But it's I don't know. I don't know why he felt the urge to say it, and he's getting a lot of flack for it. And I think for a while the fans in Chicago have been impatient with him. But, he said it. Don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, too. You know, he said what he said, and it was meant. I'm not going to say he said it to make a point, but he said it in order to let people understand, look, I'm injured, I get injured, but basketball is not going to be my life. Now, I'm going to compare his gameplay and his thought process to Allen Iverson. Now, I'm not saying Rose spent his money or is spending his money like Allen, but Allen played through a lot of injuries, a lot. And his physical frame or isn't designed to deal with that type of pounding. Allen is now dealing with a lot of economic issues because he paid a lot of people and he trusted a lot of people. And he spent his money and lived a lifestyle that he could afford at the time, but now he can no longer do that. Now, I'll say this. The players that come out of Kentucky, the one-and-doners, we all know that if you go to Kentucky for basketball, you're either a one-and-done or you're two-and-done. It's very rare at the University of Kentucky under their current head coach. Calipari is known for getting guys for a year, 2 years, and they're gone. Derrick Rose is one of those guys. But, in my opinion, Derrick Rose has the right idea. Listen, I'm here to entertain you. I got it. I'm here to win championships. I got it. But what happens to me after my 10 years of fame and stardom? When there's no more crowds to cheer me on, when my skill level has declined, when they're looking to replace me with the next big thing, what do? I go off into obscurity and hope to live a life, a normal life, when I've, you know, spent the majority of my life getting banged around, playing basketball, being physical, or do I take the time to understand that my body is more than just a vessel for your entertainment? And I agree with you, Jeff. Maybe he shouldn't have said it out loud. Maybe he shouldn't have said it to a reporter. But for players, this is SSP's opinion, but for players to be mad at him for saying that, I think they're stupid. I really do. Current and former players. The reason why I say that is because he's thinking about his future. He's not living in the now. Granted, some players will think it and play like it, you know, they're playing for their future. So that's when you get the watered-down basketball product, where you get crap basketball into the playoffs. And this is something the NBA has been, you know, been criticized for a very long time. Stop me if I'm wrong, Jeff. Stop. I mean, for a while, the NBA was known for, okay, it's boring, it's not good, I'm not going to waste my time, until the playoffs start, because that's when everybody starts to play hard. And I'm starting to see a shift with certain teams like Golden State, Oklahoma, and a few other teams that are trying to debunk that thought process, but for a very long time, that's what it was. It was that whole Allen Iverson thing. Practice, not a game. We're talking about, and that's what a lot of the mentality was in the NBA. I'm going to go out there and play my game, and I don't need to practice. I don't need to do anything like that because it really doesn't matter right now as long as we get in the playoffs. And a lot of people have a problem with Derrick Rose. I for one, don't. I think Derrick Rose is making a statement for his future and others. Now, did he hurt himself in you know, future contract negotiations? Probably. But let's face it, as you said, he hasn't played that much because of injuries. So how long is his career going to be anyway? All right, that's my final word on it. Go ahead, Jeff, go ahead.
Well, you know, you want to go way back, and this guy was, during his playing days, very controversial. Bill Walton was always hurt, and I remember that far back, and a lot of people questioned his heart, and the thing is, you know, he kept having operations even after he retired. He just had a lot of physical problems. I think they were legit. I think a lot of people were very biased against Walton during his playing days. You know, a lot of it's because of the way he looked, and, you know, he was against the Vietnam War, and, you know, he liked to travel around and see the Grateful Dead, and, you know, a lot of people questioned him, everything about him. But when he was healthy, though, he was excellent. You know, so all this thing about Walton, that went on when I was a kid. And as an adult, a couple things I appreciate more. One of Walton's issues was he had a problem with Portland's team doctor. And as an adult, I could really sympathize with that because the team doctor gets paid by the team. And even if they're trying to be professional and whatever, I think frequently take the side of the team, not the player. So I could, as an adult, I respect him for disagreeing with the team doctor because it's his body. And you know, even a great team doctor is not infallible. And you'd be a fool if you didn't see your own doctor for a second opinion if you're dealing with, you know, major issues. But when, you know, once you make a ton of money, and if, you know, you have an injury and it doesn't sound too bad, people are going to question you.
That's true. But, you know, it's their right to do it because it's their dollars lining the pockets of the owners who then pays the player. But at the same time, are we as sports fans so hung up on just our team or that player that we're not concerned about their well-being afterwards? I mean, I think something's wrong with Bill Walton personally. He says some of the wildest things when he's commentating a basketball game, but I'm not going to say that's because of his playing days. Maybe he's a product of the 60s or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, that's a good point. You know, he was an injury-prone player, but when he played, he was an excellent player in the era of Wilt Chamberlain, of the era of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and other players like that. You know, that's a older guy thinking back then about his future. And I'm glad you said that because when the Lakers played the Golden State Warriors, I was at the game. And I saw his son, Luke, was just like him. He doesn't have the talent as his father, knows some grindstone-type player, and he's still in the NBA. He might not be the star. He might not be making tons and tons of money, but he's in the NBA for, what, 10 years, 12 years now as a journeyman? So, and this is another thing I say about athletes. The stars have like a 7 to 10 year lifespan. You know, the real, real superstars. The consummate and proficient players, they have 12, 13, 14 year careers. Why? Because they know their roles. The role players have a longer career than most stars. Because these guys take care of their body, they play a certain way, whatever sport, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, they're just not that one step above, you know, everybody else, but they're consistent. So anyway, I have no problem with Derrick Rose. We're going to take a quick break, guys. And when we come back, we're going to discuss Manny Pacquiao calling out Floyd Mayweather. We'll discuss the NCAA playoff system, and we're going to get to Thursday Night Football as the game's about to start in about 5 minutes. So sit tight. We'll take a 2-minute break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the Master Plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the extra point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the extra point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on the Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, sitting in for JT ATM Money, a.k.a. Cash App, a.k.a. the Master. And alongside me is the real regular co-host of the FSP Crew Show, which would be Mr. Jeff, Why So Serious Joker. Jeff, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything. Let's jump into a little Manny Pacquiao calling out Floyd Mayweather. This should be a real quick conversation. But here's the question, Jeff. Is it too late for anybody to really see this fight? I mean, Floyd still looks good, Pac looks good, but is anybody still interested in this fight? Your thoughts?
You know, they're the big-name guys, but Mayweather is 37 now. Pacquiao is getting up there, you know, for a fighter. And, you know, want to go way back again, you know, when Sugar Ray Leonard fought Marvin Hagler, they could have had that fight 5 years earlier, you know, when they were still in or close to their prime. And for whatever reasons, they waited, and I'm not sure why this, you know, Mayweather-Pacquiao fight hasn't happened, but, you know, that two guys, I think even now, if they fought, it would be a huge event. People will get interested. Hopefully, they would still put on a good fight. But then another issue is, you know, whenever you have a big fight like that, a lot of times you want a rematch. You know, a lot of these, you know, big-time fighters fight only once or twice a year. By the time they have a fight and have a rematch, they'll both be over 40. You know, they got to, you know, like we say in North Jersey, they got to poop or get off the pot.
poop or get off the pot. That's what it is. I think they'll be pooping in their diapers. Now, here's the deal. I still want to see the fight. I really do. because both men can still fight. I'm glad you wrote the Hearns and Leonard confrontation, because Leonard was in the center of a lot of these fights. Leonard Hearns, Leonard Hagler, Hagler, Hearns, you know, so on and so forth. Those guys fought in their early 30s, late 30s, and those were some great trilogies between the three. Boxing is missing that. They're missing that type of fighter or fighters in the same weight class that are able to and willing to get in there and just give the fans their money's worth. I think Pac, he just wants to prove once for all that he can beat Floyd Mayweather. I really think so. Floyd's going to say these things, and he's going to probably be flamboyant, going to do his own thing, which is, that's his persona. That's what he does. And, you know, I'm not going to fault him. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. But I do believe that this fight is one that should have happened maybe 3 or 4 years ago when there was high, high interest, and the rematches would have made both men a great deal of money, even though Floyd already makes a lot of money. He does. But this could have been one of those, all right, I knocked him out or I beat him, now shut up type events. Pac is trying to find that big fight. He's trying to find that big payday and, you know, move forward from there. Do I still think he can beat Floyd? Yes, I do. But I think Floyd will outpoint him. I think Floyd can outpoint Pac. Knock him out? I don't know. Marquez knocked out Pac, but I think Marquez was on that juice. You know, so I don't know. But I'd like to see the fight. I just think Pac, you know, he called him out now, I guess because he's been on a winning streak, and he's like, okay, well, I'm able to do a lot of things now and make some extra money, whatever the case may be. Still one of my favorite fighters, if not my favorite fighter, but I just think it's a little late in the game to be calling out Floyd, because now Floyd, he's like, hey, you already lost a couple times since we were supposed to be fighting. You got knocked out, you lost your title, and da-da-da-da-da. So, Floyd can call all the shots now. That's the thing. He can call all the shots. Let's move on to one last topic before we get to Thursday Night Football. And I want to talk about the NCAA, Final Four, in football. So far, the two teams sitting on the outside are Alabama, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Auburn and Alabama. If I'm not mistaken, Auburn and Alabama are sitting on the outside. No, it's not Alabama. Jeff, help me out here. It's Alabama and some other team that's just sitting on the outside right now of the Final Four. I know it's Oregon, Mississippi State, Florida State, and I forget who the fourth team is, but help me out if you can.
You know, Alabama is on the outside, surprisingly. TCU. TCU in the fourth spot?
If I'm not mistaken, in these polls, I believe they are. It's either TCU or it's, my goodness, I can't remember right now. I know Arizona State was one of the teams that they were looking at, but they're like number six or something like that. Am I wrong?
Yeah, Alabama's five, Arizona State is six.
Correct. So those are the two that are sitting out right now that – if they were to have the playoff today, they would not be in it. Here's the question, though, Jeff. If Alabama beats Mississippi State this Saturday, is Mississippi State going to drop so far that they're not going to be in the top four? Or, because there's only two undefeated teams in college football right now, Florida State and Mississippi State. Oh, excuse me, and Marshall. but March is not getting that type of recognition. So you know, it is what it is. But if Alabama beats Mississippi State, is Mississippi State outside looking in, and or is Alabama elevated in that top two for beating the number one team in the nation?
You know, very hard to predict, but the thing is, and this is one of the things that looks problematic with this system, that teams like Alabama and Mississippi State and the SEC are at a disadvantage because it's such a tough conference. They beat up on each other. I guess Alabama was dominant, but now Mississippi and Mississippi State have really improved their programs. When they first started with this, you know, new system, people were talking about, oh, there's going to be two teams from the SEC, you know, in this top four. They didn't think, oh, if Alabama's not dominant and the SEC teams beat on each other, there could be no SEC teams in the Final Four. So, one of the flaws of the system, but I don't think they'll ever have a perfect way for a college football championship.
I like the system because, yes, you can say the hot team at the time is going to probably win the game, but also, if you are that good of a team and you're supposed to be that number one team, you're going to, you know, run the table. All you got to do is win two games, and it's over. You got, like, what, one more week before the final settings are made for the top four, but you have three games left in college football, not to mention each conference's championship, if you have a championship. A team like Ohio State, where do they fall if they win the Big Ten championship? Because they beat Auburn. Auburn is now out of the equation. And you mentioned the SEC is such a tough conference, and I disagree. I believe the SEC West is a tough part of the conference. However, the SEC East, it's terrible. So, you know, I think it's bad. It's bad. That's all I'm going to tell you. All right, let's move forward. But I like the process. I like the process. I just think it's bad for the SEC. I think they don't deserve to have more than one team in there, quite honestly. But we'll see. Let's move on. Final topic of the night. We're talking about Thursday Night Football. Right now it's currently 0-0 with 7:48 left in the first quarter, and Miami has had the ball the entire half of this first quarter. So they literally have held the ball for half the quarter. How do you see this game playing out? And it looks like they're going to play a little smash mouth and dink and dunk offense, Miami, that is. How do you see this game playing out, Jeff?
You know, a lot of these Thursday night games have been ugly. This one, my gut feeling was when I first looked at it, two pretty good defenses. I thought it could be a very low-scoring game, or a relatively low-scoring game, but these Thursday night games, a lot of them have been blowouts and usually not good-looking games.
Okay. But is this going to be a smash-mouth game, or is this going to be, at some point, an explosive, okay, we're just going to bowl you over type game?
Yeah, I think it – oh, is that an interception?
No, I thought it was an interception as well, but it was not.
Oh, yeah, I thought it would be, you know, a smash-mouth kind of game.
Okay. Well, we know that Fred Jackson isn't playing. Bobby Dixon or Anthony Dixon, whatever you want to call him nowadays, he is the starting running back. Fred Jackson didn't make it. I guess he was a late scratch, and a lot of people probably picked him up in FanDuel and stuff like that to, you know, get some points because he made an appearance Sunday. But that just tells me that his growing isn't as good as everybody thought, to the point that they decided to hold him out for one more game. They had a long week after this Thursday night game. So, with that being said, tell everybody, well, Jarvis Landry has already stepped up, and he has, like, 6 catches already. No Mike Wallace sighting as of yet. Who can we count on in this game from both sides to produce for us fantasy-wise?
I think, isn't one of the Miami corners out? You know, that would help. Buffalo's got Sammy Watkins, and if he can stay healthy, he's going to be a great player. You know, I didn't like this game for fantasy. It's just, like I said, 2 good defenses, and Buffalo's a very good pass rush. And another issue with these Thursday games, NFL teams are very good at getting players ready to play and dealing with the injuries, but these short weeks are a killer. And, you know, there's a good chance if this game was on Sunday, Fred Jackson would have played. You know, Miami went into this game with Tannehill banged up and Lamar Miller banged up. But, yeah, at this point in the season, you know, everybody, you know, almost everybody's got something. But, I mean, I got Mike Wallace, the 60-minute man, on one of my teams. And, he's been very productive. He's hard to bench. But if he doesn't get a touchdown, he's not always going to put up good numbers. But he's been pretty good this year.
No, I agree with you. There was a stretch where he had a touchdown in every game, and that was his redeeming quality because he didn't have many yards or many receptions. It's going to be tough on this Buffalo defense for him to score as well because even in the week 2 game, Mike Wallace, I think, caught 1 touchdown, and he had like 30 or 40 yards. That's not exceptional at all. However, the touchdown is helping him be relevant or helping people win. He's a TD or bust type player this year with Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to be very honest with you. Ryan Tannehill has brought down Mike Wallace's stock dramatically. Was it a good decision for him to go to Miami? Maybe. He had Joe Philbin, who's a Heckle and Jekyll type, or Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of coach. He's up and he's down. He's not consistent. So you don't know what he's thinking or how he's going to treat you or how he feels. But then you bring in a rookie quarterback that only played 2 years of college football or any type of football at quarterback, and you draft him number 1 and you put him in there and you say, okay, go make things happen. They didn't have a great running game, but they had Reggie Bush at the time. And they've since gone to Lamar Miller and No. Sean Marino and a few other players. Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, is not a good fantasy quarterback. He's a good manager. He's a step above. That might be harsh. It might be rude, whatever the case may be. But I don't believe that Ryan Tannehill is a quarterback you can hang your hat on and say, let's go win the game. I think Miami's going to have to depend very much so on their defense. And their defense is pretty good. Now, look at the other side of the ball in Buffalo, Kyle Orton. Fred Jackson said it not a couple weeks ago, when they made the decision to bench E.J. Manuel, that it's refreshing to have a veteran quarterback back there, you know, playing, doing the play calls, making decisions. And it's proving that Kyle is leading them in the right direction. Buffalo is a contender. They're number two or tied for second in the division, along with Miami, behind New England. More players are getting involved as Kyle Orton is the quarterback. Scott Chandler's getting some looks. Everything is not really relied upon on Sammy Watkins. And Sammy Watkins has a couple of banged up ribs and stuff like that. So, really, to me, he's not a fantasy potent person in this game. I just don't think he's there. With that being said, he catches the ball on the screen and gets a first down. But in this matchup, I don't believe that it's going to be a blow-up type game. I think if it gets to that point, Kyle Orton will have the better chance of winning the game for his team because he's done it before. He doesn't have the big arm. He doesn't have, you know, the great mobility, but he does have the experience to keep calm and play the game a certain way. So, in my opinion, I think Buffalo's going to win this game. I really do. I think they're going to probably win by 10 points. Not a blowout, but enough that says, you know what, we're in this and we're going to, you know, take it to another level. And they're going to give New England a fight for the division title. Miami can do the same thing. But I just think in this particular matchup, Buffalo has the edge. With that being said, Jeff, I want to switch over to one last topic as we have about 10 minutes left of live air, 10, 12 minutes left of live air. What do you think about Chris Johnson's comments? And if those of you that don't know what I'm referring to, this week or I believe yesterday, Chris Johnson, CJ2K, running back for the New York Jets, made a comment to the public. He said, if Vic was the starting quarterback from the beginning, things would be a lot different for the Jets. That's in my opinion, in FSB's opinion, that is an indictment on Geno Smith. It's also an indictment on the general manager and or executive people in the Jets organization. It says, in my opinion, that Rex Ryan does not have the pull he once had in decision on the field, like who plays and stuff like that, because I believe Rex wanted to go with Michael Vick in the beginning. Jeff, you are in that area. You and Jerry, and you are listening to the sports talk and stuff like that. What do you think about CJ2K's comments as well as the possibility of maybe John Izik being replaced next year?
Okay. You know, this keeps coming up, and it's come up a few times this week. Besides Chris Johnson, like you were saying before, someone on Buffalo, a lot of these guys, these pro athletes, they got to learn to keep their mouth shut sometimes. I mean, hey, when you got a regular job, there's a lot of stuff you got to keep to yourself. And in your regular job, you don't have media coverage. I mean, Chris Johnson is now a role player. I think his numbers are going to get a little better if Michael Vick remains the quarterback. But unfortunately, he's not very durable, and you know, you don't know if he's going to stay the starter. But, you know, a lot of people, a lot of fans are very critical of the Jets, the way they mishandle the salary cap. They go into the season very bad at wide receiver, very bad at corner. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the main reasons they're losing games. And, you know, and then also, I don't know if you heard about this, earlier in the week, Tim Hardaway Jr. with the Knicks, he said something. He might have put his foot in his mouth, but he said something basically that they weren't trying hard last year or something, which that's something you never want to hear. And I'm thinking, you know, these guys got to be more careful. You know, I mean, you know, it's funny. You might be real boring, but Eli Manning seldomly puts his foot in his mouth. Yeah, he's boring, but he doesn't criticize teammates or coaches or whatever, and I don't get it. You know, it's like, come on, when the microphone's in your face, you got to watch what you say.
Now, you mentioned Junior. They weren't doing so well because they wanted to have a coaching change, or why do you suspect Junior said what he said?
You know, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, it's possible. But the thing is, you know, these guys are pros. They, even if they don't care about winning as much as some guys, they still want to put up decent numbers. You know, even if you hate the coach, you still want to put up good numbers so you get paid. I don't get it. And it's funny, I like Hardaway as a player. I wish he got a little more time. He's been getting some more time lately. I don't usually watch basketball until after football's over, but I've been watching a little bit of the Knicks, and they must have used already 100 different lineups this year because of injuries and suspensions. And, you know, I don't know about that squad. And, you know, you got J.R. Smith, a classic example of a guy who kept his mouth shut and stayed out of trouble long enough to sign a new contract and then went back to his obnoxious ways. But, you know, when he was playing well, I liked him. And I liked the fact that they kept him because, unlike most of the guys from that team, he was young and he could play a lot of minutes, you know.
Well, that's the thing. You know, Rex Ryan, he has a very similar situation. You know, he's in a situation where either he's going to succeed or he's not. And if he doesn't succeed, is it because of the organization, or is it because of the players, or is it coaching style? Derek Fisher, brand new coach in the NBA for the Knicks. Same. Now, I will say that the Knicks have been playing pretty well as of late. They have. I know it's early on in the season and stuff like that, but they've been playing pretty well. But both coaches are in a situation where the players are either going to dictate what happens to them, or, you know, they're going to get fired. So that's why I asked the question. Is, you know, Rex Ryan in that type of situation, is it a, well, Rex is being Rex and he can control it, or are these players calling the shots? You know, Junior's saying that for the Knicks, hey, we didn't play that hard. Why? You didn't care? Or you want to get ready to coach? I believe last year, the Jets organization let the players dictate whether Rex was coming back or not. Because if you saw the celebration when the owner of the Jets, you know, came to the locker room after the final game, and I believe they beat Miami, and he said, well, we're going to bring him back in. You're safe for next year, Rex, da da da. The players mobbed him because they showed affection and love for him. But is that enough to save his job this year with the New York Jets going into next year? Or if he's out as a head coach of the New York Jets?
You know, and I'm not saying it's right or it's fair, but the thing is, I think the bigger problem with the Jets is Itzig, I think his name, the GM, who hasn't drafted well, hasn't managed the cap well. I mean, Rex is the head coach. He doesn't, he doesn't run the draft. He doesn't do the free agency. I think if anything, he has less input than he used to have. I think You know, the players do seem to like Rex, I guess, because he doesn't publicly criticize them, and, you know, he just seems very personable, and that's been a constant, that they really seem to like him. I guess one of the criticisms of him as a head coach, I think it was the same thing they said of his father, he's a great defensive mind, but not a, you know, a good head coach for an entire team, offense and defense. Now, then if they get rid of the GM, usually a GM wants to bring in their own head coach, and they usually don't want to be, you know, inherit somebody. So, you know, they bring in a new GM, the new GM might decide you know, let Rex go. And, you know, that's one of the sad facts of, you know, being a coach in the NFL.
Okay. Well, Jeff, my man, as usual, I enjoyed my time hanging out with you. We talked a little bit about this, a little bit about that. We covered Blake Griffin. We talked about Thursday Night Football, Adrian Peterson, Pacquiao calling out Floyd Mayweather, Derrick Rose and his comments, and NCAA, and we touched upon comments that NFL players are making. So we're about to get out of here. Is there anything else you want to say to the listeners out there, or anyone, or anything before we go off the air?
I don't know. It's getting to be crunch time in fantasy season, so good luck to everybody this week.
I agree. I don't want Jeff to win anymore. He's the hot rod in the Yahoo League, making all types of trades. He's my man, 50 grand, causing all types of trouble. I love to talk about it, but I don't know how much time you have, and I don't want to go too much into overtime. But real quick, your thoughts on the Yahoo League. We have about 2 minutes.
You know, I like it for the most part. There's a couple things I'd like to change for next year, but that's got to wait. I don't know. It's a fun league. It's you know, most of the GMs have seemed pretty cool. You know, if you know, I have offered a lot of trades, and the people are usually polite, because some leagues, you know, they don't like your trade. They insult you or whatever. It's like, there's no need for that, you know. So
yeah,
and you know, my managing style varies depending on the league and the situation. And this team and situation dictated that I'd be a little more aggressive and pursue trades, because, believe me, I would prefer to just, you know, have a great draft and just very quietly adjust my lineup and work the waivers from week to week, and that's it, and not even bother trading. But, you know, there's only so much you can get from waivers in certain leagues, and I had to take a different course. So hopefully I get back on track this week. I'm right back in it.
I hope not, because I want to beat you down and everybody else in it. But I love you, Jeff. You're still my man. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, on Saturday, FSP show, 1 a.m. Eastern Time, I'm back in the saddle hosting again with my boy JT, ATM Money. Then on Sunday, you've got the Master Plan with JT and Lance, the NFL Explorer. Mike Wallace catches his first pass, by the way, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have Lance and myself with the Extra Point. Come right back on Thursday at 8 p.m. Right here is the FSP Crew Show with Jeff, Black, and Jerry doing their thing, because they are the FSP Crew. They're my crew. I love them to death, and I appreciate them. With that being said, thanks for listening to the show, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, it's Mr. Anchor, Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.